It's a question that understandably looms large in every parent's mind. How safe are my children from the kind of clerical sex abuse that we've heard so much about in the media in recent weeks and months? But amidst all the anger and pain over the revelations about the extent of clerical sex abuse over the past decades and the mishandling of the issue by the Catholic hierarchy, it's often overlooked that in the last few years, concrete measures have been taken by the church authorities in many countries to safeguard children and vulnerable adults within the church. In England and Wales, a series of reviews of safeguarding arrangements, along with the adoption of more robust policies and procedures, have been put in place since 2001 with this precise aim in mind. Bill Kilgallen is the head of the National Catholic Safeguarding Commission. It's an independent body that sets the strategic direction of the Church's safeguarding policies for children and vulnerable adults. The Commission is also responsible for monitoring compliance with these policies. Kilgallen believes the Catholic Church in England and Wales has learned from its past mistakes, and he says he's confident about the effectiveness of the structures now in place to protect the vulnerable.
In my view, the procedures are very robust and thorough. What we have is a structure which has representatives at parish level in every parish across the country. These are volunteers who work in the parish to make sure that every reasonable precaution is taken to make sure that those who work with children and vulnerable adults are suitable people. In each diocese, we have an independent commission which is chaired by somebody from outside the church, a person with experience in safeguarding or in the police or in the law, and a group of people working with them. That commission makes sure that within the diocese the national guidelines are followed. Each diocese then has a person working as a coordinator or safeguarding officer. In the bigger diocese, perhaps two or three people. And then nationally we have the commission, which I chair, which is an independent body, setting the policies and monitoring the compliance with those policies. And we've also brought the religious congregations into this, and they have four regional commissions which work in a similar way.
So are all cases of alleged abuse reported automatically to the civil authorities? Is there, in effect, a zero tolerance policy like in the US?
Yes, the guidelines in England and Wales are that as soon as there is an allegation or a concern, this is reported to the civil authorities. That will be either the police or the local authority responsible for safeguarding adults and children, or both at the same time, depending on the nature of the case. And the church then lets that investigation take place and helps with that investigation. And then the civil authorities take their action as necessary. If, however, at the end of that investigation, the authorities decide not to prosecute, this could be for a variety of reasons, the matter doesn't end there. The church then carries out, through its safeguarding officers, an inquiry into the matters that have been raised. And it could be that those will result in action being taken by the church.
But it's very much left up to the church at this point.
Once the civil authorities have finished, yes. But the first step is always to report to the civil authorities and to assist in their investigation.
So if the church were to conclude that there are grounds, at least for doubt, concerning this person, that he would then be removed from pastoral work?
Well, yes, when the allegation's made, the general practice would be to remove the person temporarily from pastoral work until the investigation was complete.
Is there, in tandem with this, a better and more rigorous screening of candidates to the priesthood and religious life?
Certainly for the diocesan priesthood, there's a much more rigorous screening. Obviously, the religious orders have introduced screening in different ways. Not all religious orders, of course, have their leadership in England and Wales, and so their standards sometimes reflect that of other countries. But we've done a lot of work on safeguarding with the seminaries, and our safeguarding staff nationally meet with the seminary rectors of England and Wales every year. We've had input into the curriculum as well as the selection of candidates. so that people coming out of seminaries are much better prepared for dealing with these issues than they were previously.
And approximately how many alleged abuse cases are reported each year? I mean, for instance, in 2008, do you have the figures?
In 2008, there were 51.
And of these cases, how many, what percentage were proved to have some substance to the allegations?
Of the 51, 13 were being investigated. In 29, no further action was taken by the statutory authorities. There were course hearings in 2, conviction in 3, and a police caution in 1. However, there was action taken by the church in respect of most of the others.
Yes.
Sorry, of those, more than half of them were related to incidents that had taken place in the 1970s. So half of them went back 30 years or more. And of those 51, 30 were clergy or religious. 7 were volunteers. 6 were people in the parish, and 5 were employees of the church.
And what kind of feedback have you got from Catholics in general on this matter? Do they ever say that they now feel safe in the church? Do they feel that it's got its house in order on this issue?
I think that there is a sense within the church in England and Wales that we have taken good steps forward. But I have to say that people in this country are very affected by the reports from other countries, and particularly, for example, from Ireland, because there's a very strong connection between the church in England and the church in Ireland. A very large number of church people in England, of Catholics in England, are of Irish descent.
Now, you yourself are a parent, and you would have no qualms whatsoever in entrusting your children, let's say talking about your grandchildren, to the church?
You know, I currently am also a foster carer, and we have care of young children now who go to church with us, and I'm confident in the church I go to that the people who, for example, run the children's liturgy have been properly vetted, have been properly screened and recruited to do that, and have good, sensible precautions in place to make sure that children are not put at risk. We're not complacent about this, because although the numbers are small, what we do know about child abuse is that its effects are very serious for the individuals, and they last a very long time. They damage people for many years, and many people don't recover from the damage. We also know that even a few people, a small number of priests or volunteers within the church, if they abuse children or vulnerable adults, the impact of that on the parish, on the community, and on the reputation of the church is huge. And so, even though they're small numbers, one is far too many.
Now, whilst talking about that, you said earlier that the systems in place are very robust, but is there room, in your opinion, for further improvements? And if so, where and how?
The improvements we working towards, first of all, making sure that people use the procedures that we have, because we do have examples of where structures have been put in place to deal with individuals, and these individuals have circumvented even the guidelines that are there, because we do know that people, particularly paedophiles, are very clever at using systems and getting around restrictions placed upon them. So we have a constant need to be training people to make sure that they apply the structures and the procedures and apply them well. The second thing we're working to do more of is more work in providing support to people who have been abused, because for many of them, the fact that they were abused within the church can be a real block to their spiritual well-being, and the church needs to address that and to work with them to help people to recover from the damage that's being done to them. And then the third issue is providing, if you like, a safety net, a circle of control and support to people who are abusers and seek to practice their religion, perhaps when they've come out of prison. And so we have a system in this country of managing that with the statutory authorities, and the church is very much involved in that work of making sure that people who are known offenders are not able to get back into a position in the church where they can offend again, but at the same time having a system where they can, under proper control, be allowed to attend church.
OK, moving on to something more in the news at the moment. A victim of sexual abuse by a jailed priest has this week accused the Archbishop of Westminster, Vincent Nichols, of dodging an apology over sexual abuse. Do you think this is a fair criticism?
No, I've seen the statement made by the Archbishop, or the letter made by the Archbishop, and I think he has been particularly clear in all the time that he's been involved as a bishop in these issues, being very clear and honest about the failings within the church and supporting very robust procedures to deal with it. I think the press coverage by one particular newspaper this weekend has been well below the standards that you would expect of any reasonable newspaper in covering this story.
So, to sum up, you feel confident that the church has learnt from its mistakes of the past and that there would never be now the risk that a culture of secrecy or lack of transparency could prevail when it comes to reported abuse cases, never be the temptation to shove them under the carpet, as it were?
No, I don't think there would be that temptation anymore. You know, we set these procedures up some years ago, and they arose because the church had got it wrong previously. So we're not in England and Wales in any way saying to any other country, we're better at this than you, or we don't have the problems that you have. They came to light a bit earlier in England and Wales than in some other countries. And so it's from that experience that we've built up these structures. We're saying we've had our problems, we're facing up to them, and that transparency and working together with the civil authorities is absolutely essential in all of this. And the one thing I will say is that we have had, in our safeguarding work, tremendous support from the statutory authorities in this country. In every diocese, the commissions, the independent commissions, have representatives of the statutory authorities on them. All doing is on a voluntary basis for the protection of children and adults. So we've had really positive relationships with the statutory authorities.
I was speaking to Bill Kilgallen, head of the National Catholic Safeguarding Commission.